Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Blair Saki!
Whoa! Oh my god, it's fucking great to be back. I love great the too. Zeitgeist. Hello, Jack. Hello, Jamie. It's a Legends Ball here.
What'd you say? It's a what?
It's a Legends Ball.
A Legends Ball, hell yeah.
We're all wearing gowns also. You can't see on the Zoom call, but...
Yeah.
Always. My shirt, like, it looks like a button-up shirt, but it extends all the way to the ground. How have you guys been? You've both been... I did the bean up top to fit in the rhyme scheme of the Eleanor Rigby AKA, but now I'm just going to pretend like I say it like that to kind of keep it going. But you guys have both been traveling?
Yeah.
We've both been traveling.
We've been hopping around.
Yeah. Best place you've been on your on your travels.
Where have you been, Blair? Where have you been at?
I've been in London. I've been in Los Angeles a bit here and there, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You've been to London to visit the Queen? That is a children's book that you guys probably are not familiar with. But that's cool. How was London? What's going on over in London?
It was really cool. I was shooting a pilot there, but I hadn't been to, I'd only been to London one other time, like many, many years ago. And it was cool to go after COVID and everything and see what's going on over there.
Very cool.
I had some fish and chips and some mashed peas.
Nice.
Do you have bangers and mash? Is that's London, right?
Yeah, bangers and mash. I didn't get to the bangers and mash, but I am a fan of the bangers and mash.
Love it.
The best. Did you play a British person? A British?
No, I played myself, unfortunately. I wish I was playing a British.
Yeah.
That would have been better and more fun.
I wanted to judge your
I mean,
accent.
You're a natural British.
And Jamie, you were out and about hitting the road. What's new out there on the stages of America? Anything?
Oh, it's the same old shit, I tell you what. But in a good way, in a nice way. I went to Boston and New York and Philadelphia. I had like a hot dog in Philadelphia that I was really wanting to get. The morning after a show, it was perfect. Like the morning after a show, I woke up just in time. My friend gave me a ride and we got a hot dog that had a fish cake on top of it.
On purpose?
It wasn't even a mistake.
By design?
Jack.
Wow.
Yeah. That was because I've been trying to get the hot dogs everywhere where you can't get it anywhere else. You know, like,
right. Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is uniquely this city's bad idea. And speaking of which, you can get beans on hot dogs in a lot of places. I've been eating bean hot dogs.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of beans? Like chili?
There is like chili beans, but there's also just like in the Southwest, they just like do regular like canned beans or fried beans.
Like baked beans or like refried beans? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, I guess that makes sense.
It's really good. It's really good. I'm still in the hot dog hole. But yeah, I had a fish cake on a hot dog. And I think that I feel comfortable saying that was close to the highlight.
Wow.
So it works.
Yeah. I love a hot dog like you, Jamie. I'm a hot dog freak also. They're so
Where's
good.
What's your favorite?
Well, I think for nostalgia purposes, I like a Costco hot dog. Mm. Have you ever had a Costco hot dog? They're really good.
Yeah.
I used to badger the hell out of my mom to get me one when I was a child, accompany her on the shopping trip.
They're like $1.50 and they're still like one of the best. I feel like I've paid $12. I've paid more than $12 for a hot dog, and it's not been as good as a Costco hot dog.
Yeah, shout out to Costco hot dogs. You're really holding it down for, I'd say, like 30 years or however long Costco's been open. Wow.
Uninterrupted, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't their CEO threaten to resign if they like raised the price on the hot dog or something?
Oh my God. You never hear about that sort of integrity these days.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's made up like by a CEO, like PR firm of some sort. But
I heard something. This is a CEO story that's sad. And I don't remember the whole thing, so I don't know why I started the sentence. But there was something really sad that happened with the CEO of Texas Roadhouse. Someone should look into that.
That sounds like it's like a clue that like a killer would give to the police. Like,
Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues. Google CEO Texas Roadhouse. Something sad happened. I don't remember. Anyways, neither here nor there.
What is something from your search history?
King-size pillows.
King-size pillows?
King-size pillows.
Just looking for some different pillows, you know?
Okay.
I've been, this is the thing, is since I've been very, I guess, domestic and like looking to revamp things.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for pillows. I'm looking for sheets. I'm looking for comforters.
Damn. You didn't have any of those things before this past month?
But you know what? If you have like a king size pillowcase with a queen pillow, that's fucked up. Okay.
Yeah.
No one will respect you. I'm a 34-year-old woman.
Just makes for a good weapon in a pillow fight, but otherwise not good.
You could suffocate. All that extra fabric, it gets stuck in your mouth and then you die.
I do have a tendency to chew my pillow.
Looked at a pillow? Okay, this is for a lot. I had a boyfriend. It's men. I'm going to say men.
Yeah.
His pillow, like, I remember changing the sheets one time. The pillow, I didn't understand how it had become, the whole thing was brown.
Yeah.
All of it.
Hmm.
Like, have you ever looked at your pillows?
Sweat?
Like, out of the pillowcase? It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I remember growing up, because, like, I feel like my first pillows as, like, a kid were, like, probably, like, my dad's from when he was in college or something. So, like, you know, like, pillows, I just feel like weren't a thing I bought in my family. Like, we had, like, a set number of pillows from the past generations that we had accumulated. And all the time, I'd be like, when you take them off, I'd always be like, I'm like, Mom, don't we have to wash these? She's like, they're, put the case on and we'll just deal with it.
Just don't ever look at it again. Yeah. I just remember being like, it was gross. It felt greasy. I was like, what is going on with this pillow?
My pillows look like a fucking murder scene. It's pretty bad.
It's like, how did blood get on there?
I don't know. I don't know how it happens, but there's like orange rusty like shit coming out of my head at night. And I didn't
like, what are you doing at night? Do you like sleep, fuck your pillow?
Like, I do, but like that still, you wouldn't
use
think
a condom,
that that's,
so.
I do use a condom. Yeah.
So it shouldn't. Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to understand. But yeah, I don't know. I guess you just have to wash. I think all that to say is you got to really make sure you wash any parts that can be washed. Rather than like, there's a case on it. There's a thin fabric over it that will protect the rest of it.
That would be a good, like, somebody needs to do just a scientific mysteries of everyday life. And like, what is leaking out of your head at night, guys, would be a good, good episode.
But it passes through the case unscathed. It's fine with the case.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's just a nightmare.
I think I drool. I think that might be part of it, you know, and I usually have like a candy bar in my mouth while I'm going to sleep. So that probably has something, you know.
That's where I hide my candies in my pillowcase and I forget it.
Or secretly you just suck it through the pillowcase so no one knows.
Ew.
Good. No one's wise to it.
There are all these Jolly Ranchers just stuck to the inside of my pillowcase.
Oh, man. I think I had like melted Jolly Ranchers all over my bedroom when I was a kid because I would hide them in the
Wait, what do you mean you'd hide like the feds were coming and you're like, yo, you gotta fucking stash these, or
I think
you would lick them and then like forget them?
Maybe lick them and forget them. I just remember finding a bunch of baseball cards that were fused together by like a melted Jolly Rancher, like that was just in the back of like my bookshelf. Again, don't have any recollection, but that kind of defines my life. I remember a grand total of probably like 2 hours of my life, and everything else is just a black hole. So,
and Simpsons references that you keep mistaking for your life.
Yeah, exactly. What's something you think is overrated?
being paranoid about buying fake shit.
Mm.
Like, I think it's partially because specifically the Chinese people I hang out with have started to come into a little money. So their asses are all buying Rolexes and shit.
Mm.
And I'm not there. And I suspect I'm, even if I could kind of afford it, would not be that type of person. So what I did do, I'm wearing it right now, I'm really happy with it. I got a reissue that is possibly fake from Alibaba of like the communist military Chinese watch.
Oh, damn. That's fucking
and it
cool.
is like it was like $180. It arrived in shit. Like the most, like literally like it arrived in a plastic box that then looked like it was just like wrapped in basically paper towels. And then like a child had like used like clear plastic tape. Like it looked like, I guess it looked most like a sort of like, if I had to design an IED and I had 10 minutes to do it.
Right.
So I was like, shit, what do I have around
Panic
the house?
Panic bomb maker.
Yeah. It was like, so yeah, but you know, it arrived and then I was like, man, did I buy this from Alibaba? Did I get ripped off? And I was like, who gives a fuck? I'm down. I am now, not that Alibaba is less evil than like Amazon, but it's sort of like differently evil.
Right.
That's another marketplace. I was going to say, you know, I look at replica watches. 180 sounds like a lot off of there. Did you look DHgate? Did you check out Weidian? Taobao?
So it might be real is the thing, because they're telling
you you're buying like the genuine article rather than.
Yeah. So the thing is the genuine article, this is for anyone that gives a fuck. This is a Seagull 1963 chronometer. And it, even the genuine article is arguably a fake because it's like maybe
off a Seiko or something.
The factory. Yeah. So the factory in Tianjin in the 60s, 50s, like either stole the design or licensed it from, it's like a Swiss design that they kind of stole. I'm not really clear on all the details. Anyway, it's like bootlegs on top of bootlegs.
Yeah.
And I am embracing the Chinese-ness of it.
Got to.
But I feel good about it.
In general, I think, you know, with like replica fashion, like, you know, knockoffs becoming like a whole other level, like versus like when we were kids and it's like, what's on Canal Street or like downtown at the alley? Like shit now is like, people are getting away with selling shit on StockX, which is supposed to be thousands of dollars shoes that are replicas that are made abroad. And like, I just like how it up, like the outrage that it inspires in people who insist on paying like thousands of dollars for something. Where they're like, oh, that's fake, dude. Like, I'm like, you don't, like, you're a kid and your whole value system is based on buying $1,000 pair of shoes. Like, I hope your brain melts down when you see I bought these for $100.
Well, and it is like, what is the utility? It is the same thing with like fucking NFTs, right? Like, what is the actual utility of ownership of a thing with only aesthetic value?
Right.
Like, I'm like, I don't need a watch to tell the time. In fact, I did like the most actually pathological thing in the movie theater the other day, which is I used my phone to illuminate my watch hand so I could check the time.
Excuse me, sorry.
Like, my brain is straight up broken.
Got to see how much longer is left in this movie.
Really,
which
is.
Movie was it? That
it was French Dispatch. I was just like, I can't is this... see any more of this shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, embrace the fakes, y'all.
Who yeah, it's an idea that like should have like found its time. It makes total sense, but I just feel like it's too. Like the idea of just reps replacing, like becoming the thing that matters. Like I just can't, it's too like damaging to the foundational like ethos of our country that I feel like they're going to find a way to like end that
shit. Well, yeah. Well, that's why I was like, it's also like ripping off the communist design. I'm like, all right, this is fine. The other thing with the other option with this watch that this company Seagull sells, they were selling a like watch, I think, My Chinese is not good enough. It would have taken me forever to like actually read all the Chinese, but it appeared to be commemorating the partitioning of Korea. It was like it was like the 38th parallel celebration anti-US watch.
Hell yeah. I mean, like, that's fucking dope.
I was like, that's like probably a bridge too far for me to buy, but
right,
very intense.
Yeah. Anything that would outrage rich people, I think is great. You know,
Like, this one was, I was like, I think my South Korean friends would be like, that's kind of fucked up. And I'm like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I think of even like, because you look at Gucci and stuff, their designs are starting to mimic what a knockoff would be. Like a lot of their hoodies now, like with the sort of crude screen print design and like throwback aesthetic, like they're sort of echoing the pirated material.
Wasn't that the story of the big polo? Am I crazy?
Yeah. I think so. But it's also funny to see people like who are like, man, like get so heated about someone who paid $70 for the thing that looks exactly like their $1,000 thing.
Yeah.
And right. I'm like,
because they need the exclusivity.
Yeah. And I'm like,
that's the NFT mindset, baby.
More. Challenge that shit more. Be like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I'm in horrifically fake Versace to fuck with you. Yeah. This shit doesn't mean anything.
Right. What is something you think is underrated?
That is a great question and a little out of left field.
Did not see that one come.
But I guess if I had to say something, I would say baby names.
Okay.
Baby names. This is no easy feat. Took us 3 days in the hospital before we decided. Yeah, he was nameless for 3 days. Now, my approach coming with the name Nick is that I don't want a name that 3/5 of my best friends have also.
Sure.
I mean, it is bonkers. Shout out to Nick Vatterott and Nick Rutherford, who are those guys in my inner circle. And it is insane that there's so many of us. And I don't want that for my kid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And we also thought that Tennessee was pretty cool. And it would be nice and alliterative, Tennessee Turner, you know?
Yeah.
But that hits too hard. That's too good of a name.
Yeah. Stick that in the middle, and it's an option for later.
Yeah. If he wins a Grammy, then he can use it.
Then he can start using it. If he's a college football star, I feel like that would be a good
show
name.
Or a show horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't gender my baby. He could be a show horse. No.
Yeah, sounds like that name all sounds like a turn of the century, like baseball pitcher.
Tennessee Turner.
Oh, my. I mean,
or a baseball pitch, like a.
Oh, throwing the Tennessee Turner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like an off-speed pitch.
Yeah. Or a pool shark.
Yeah. Absolutely. A pool shark. It's no joke. That name, like that, when you don't have a name and the baby's out, is it's a real process.
Gut check.
Yeah, people really get upset. It's like, you know, you thought people cared about what the gender was, but once they confirm what the gender is, then they come hard with what is that goddamn baby's name? Tell me now, it matters.
How much does it weigh? What's its name? I need this yesterday.
You don't have a
on
name?
My desk yesterday.
Yeah. You don't have a fucking name? I'm calling CPS.
Yeah. Well, everybody at the hospital, it's the first thing they ask because they like write the baby's name down on
right.
stuff. And so you go in and they're like, what's the name? Every person, we don't know. And they go, oh, you're waiting to find out what it looks like. You're waiting to see the baby.
Yeah. Huh?
You're like, absolutely not. I'm not
trying to come up with a good name.
Who would do that? You don't look at a baby and it's like, yep, that's a jack.
Yeah.
A baby doesn't look like a jack. A baby looks like another baby.
Baby looks like baby if you had to give it a name.
If you waited, you'd be like, oh, tiny grandpa. Yeah. Most of the kids.
Yeah.
Would just be bag of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
You got nothing. But we went with Otis.
Yeah, which is a great
because
name.
Because we looked up what it meant and made sure it wasn't on any lists.
Mm. Right. That's what we had Liam locked and loaded for for the first like 5 years of our marriage. And then once we started thinking about having kids, we looked at a name list and it had been like the number one name.
Yeah.
And still remains the number one
this
name.
Year.
Yeah, it's still the number one name. The Liam Neeson affection is strong, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Gallagher.
Yeah. Liam Gallagher is probably it. I want a baby who can find me if I get taken.
You're about to be taken, Daddy.
Someone who knows what a champagne supernova is.
Yes, thank you.
And then, of course, as soon as I posted the name, a friend of mine texted me to say that she had named her baby Otis.
And I, like moments before? Or
No, a couple of years ago.
But you just weren't up on it.
Yeah, yeah. I just forgot or, did, you know, whatever. Baby, you know, it goes over my head. I don't care until it's relevant to me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you nailed it. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Did you have a committee? Like I had my, it was my wife, my sister, and I were the only people who I was really letting in on the naming process on the second one who we didn't have a name for the first couple of days. But like, that's how you know you trust somebody. Is when it's like, all right, I'm gonna let you in the writer's room on this baby's name.
I wouldn't even tell anyone like what we were thinking about.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want anyone's negative opinion. I don't want to see your face because it doesn't matter, you know. And there's there's no good names. None of them make sense.
Right.
And so we had no committee. We just at that final day, we were like, the hospital is like, you have to name him by this day or else.
Or else
it's going to be way more paperwork.
Yeah. It can't be untitled. How does it feel? By D'Angelo.
Okay, fine. Give me another form then. Brown sugar.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about some news. And we're back, and there was a horrible tragedy over the weekend at Travis Scott's Astroworld Music Festival during a Travis Scott performance, which are kind of known for the crowd just going off. I've seen many a video that made it look just out of control in a very fun way. And this is just the kind of timeline on this, like, makes no sense, is really horrifying. And you hear about this shit a lot just in like soccer and like in other countries, just anytime there's like a big crowd gathered. And it's very like counterintuitive the way it works. So like it's not like one violent like rush where people are like trampled underneath people's feet. It happens slowly, and like people too behind you don't realize that they're crushing you. It's really awful.
I mean, you look at what happened, 8 people passed away with hundreds of injured, you know, they're teenagers who were among the people that lost their lives. And, you know, from the way people describe it, like the real trouble started, you know, like earlier in the day, like a bunch of people rushed the VIP entrance and like security just couldn't handle it. And like, you know, people were like, that's not nothing new. You know, people are always going to rush Fed gates at festivals because that's the time honored tradition of being a young broke kid and getting that thrilling. But then as like the festival went on and Travis was about to go on, there was like a 30-minute countdown graphic that came on the screen. And that's when people started to move closer to the front of the stage. And it wasn't quite like getting to the terrible point at that point, but that was sort of what began this like movement towards the stage. And then about 35 minutes into him performing, the crush became so much that there were people that were passed out. They were trying to figure out if some had actually had succumbed to their injuries. And authorities had categorized it as a mass casualty event. And there were moments where you could see Travis was like in between songs, might say, hey, can you help this person? Or people, you could hear the crowd saying, stop the show. But with the size of the crowd and the music and things like that, just nothing apparently was happening. And the concert went on until 10:15. And at that point, you know, the worst of it had happened. People were trampled. People had, you know, died from a number of different causes, probably from this rush of people. But now I think a lot of the focus is really turning on like what happened and how could that happen? Because I think at most I've been to shows, a lot of people have been to shows where there's huge crowds and you will hear sometimes, hey, like kind of take a couple steps back. Like we want to make sure it's safe or things like that. Or like you're saying, like in England with the Hillsborough disaster where 96 people died, that completely changed even how football matches were even, you know, being secured or how they even thought of crowd movements and things like that. And now it just seems like a lot of finger pointing, not knowing who to quite blame. There's already two lawsuits being filed against like Live Nation, Travis Scott. I think one even names Drake because when he came on, like a lot of people moved forward too. So I'm not sure what the benefit of those lawsuits are more than like really understanding like where things went wrong, because most of the, you know, a show like that with that many people, there's typically contingency plans in place to keep people safe. And I think that's where a lot of the, you know, the question marks are around. Were there enough security people? How prepared was the production to actually stop the show if things got bad enough? and who knew what when, because at this point, you know, there's just a lot of like, I didn't realize it was that bad kind of stuff coming out of people like Travis Scott.
I mean, the fact that they said the words mass casualty event at 9:38 and the show didn't end until 10:15, like just turn That's the crazy. Fucking lights on, like go yeah. up on stage and talk to Travis Scott and be like, hey, what?
And, you know, there's a lot, there's video clips of people climbing like the camera towers to plead with the camera operators to talk to someone and say like there are people who are severely injured, right. or, you know, mm-hmm. there were ambulances that were trying to make their way to through the crowd. But these concert goers are so turned up. They like hopped on the ambulance and kept it from getting to the people that were in need. And, you know, at this point, you know, Travis Scott, I think a lot of people have seen, he posted like an apology video that many were like, this feels so like your publicist, your crisis PR team just like told you to read this. It felt, I don't know, whatever. He's probably in shock too. But he's yeah. like, at the very least, he's like, well, we'll refund everyone's tickets. He says he's going to be paying for any related costs for funerals for these 8 people. And also like offering mental health support for any of like the festival attendees. For, you know, having to endure such a like horrible event. But I think, you know, I think the thing that's very clear is there weren't enough people doing the right thing in terms of how the event was produced.
Yeah.
To prevent this.
I heard yeah. that the security was really low as well. So there just like wasn't enough people yeah. to just even like pull people out of the crowd if they had to.
Yeah.
Then I saw something about, did they have the center, like the split down the middle?
It looked like they had it set up like, you know, to have like those channels for security to like move through the crowd, like yeah. those pens that they set up.
Is that something that's usually done for safety or like to avoid?
Well, yeah,
because like
then
this?
They can the security can monitor better.
Right.
And you have more exit access points.
Yeah. Right. And you can let people into those areas, too, to like relieve the flow of people just to kind of, you know, it's all fluid dynamics of like where people are moving and where the pressure is, because it's really underestimated how powerful these kind of crowd movements are. Like it can bend, like steel can be bent from yeah. just people moving like this in one massive, you know, body. But yeah, a lot of like just reading like the accounts of the people who were there. It's just like so many people were there to go have fun. Yeah. And just due to the negligence of and lack of, I think, proper protocols, it ends like this. And it was yeah. wild. I read an article in like the Houston Chronicle where there were two veteran, like they, as they described it in the article, two veteran concert promoters and producers who do a lot of big shows in Texas. They said they had some ideas about what may have gone wrong, but they did not want to speak on the record out of fear of retribution from Live Nation because they're the oh, largest wow. producer of live events.
Jesus.
So it was weird that they even put that in the article, but I think that's something that also needs to be really addressed too, where even that this thing is so big, too, that there are people who be like, they might not do everything the best way, or there's things that could have been done better. They didn't even want to give that analysis to be like, that could fuck my whole career up. So,
yeah,
stakes are very high.
Yeah. Ultimately, I feel like a lot of the attention's being paid to the artists, and like, really, it comes down to the producers and the company that's in control of planning the fucking thing.
Yeah, I think suing the artists isn't really going to do anything.
No,
right. It should be Live Nation. And
yeah, because I mean, unless they can prove some negligence where Travis Scott has an earpiece and they're saying, hey, you got to stop
right.
or whatever. Yeah. And he's ignored, yeah. takes his earpiece sure. out and he's ignoring it. Yeah, then that's one course. Thing. But even then, you'd hope that there are people like he's not the be all end all with who decides what's happening when he doesn't have all of the facts. Like you'd think yeah. there's someone
right.
at the highest level to say, nope, cut the fucking monitors, cut the speakers, put the security brief, like put the security notices on all the screens, put all the security announcements through the audio. There's no more music, but I think just right now, just a lot of people trying to, you know, just move through this tragedy. So I'm sure it's going to be an ongoing thing.
Yeah. Well, while we're down here in Texas, let's mm-hmm. Check in with the folks from QAnon, because we did talk ahead of JFK Jr.'s appearance in Dealey Plaza, the site of his father's assassination, where he became president and then stepped down in order to restore Trump as the one true God. Mm-hmm. I don't
Wait,
think that
do
happened.
That?
I don't no. think so. Like I Googled it right before we started recording and there wasn't anything about it. And
That's
I feel like
I'm
that
here.
Would have made news.
That's why I'm in Texas. I was waiting.
JFK back yet?
Yeah.
No.
But so apparently a lot of the Q folks have remained in Dallas. They've been returning to Dealey.
Yep.
To stand in Q formation. Is that an actual thing?
Like a guy, this dude, like Michael Protzman, he's like one of the people who was the main sort of QAnon influencers who got people, you know, real excited about this idea of him coming back. He had them like when, you know, I think the run of show was sort of like, yeah, JFK Jr. Tuesday night. And then when that didn't happen, it's like, all right, let's do some other fun stuff real quick since I got you guys here. How about we get in the queue for it? Why don't you guys stand in the queue? Maybe that'll work. No?
Stand in a queue. Interesting.
It's like when you know, you get that like free vacation, but then you have to sit for like 4 hours as they try to like sell you a timeshare.
A timeshare.
Right. Exactly. Oh, yeah. You guys all were here excited to see JFK Jr., but what
then? Well, we get to that.
A timeshare.
Who here? Who's here about to be retired? Great, great. Okay, Lonnie, great. Because we can talk. I'm just telling you the flexibility that's offered by buying into here.
I sat through one of those, by the way, for a free jet ski rental and free tequila. So that's
Did it work out for you?
I have a timeshare that's actually been really great, and I need some investors if you guys are interested. No. But I just like sat. It was one of the more obnoxious 4 hours of my life.
God, for just tequila and a jet ski?
Yeah. That's
That $100 you could, that's your life. You just gave away.
It was bad planning. I did.
For like $60.
That's on me. That's on me. But yeah, like another thing, like people were kind of documenting what they were doing in Dallas over the week. At another point, there was this video where people lined up to talk to a guy with like a fucking parrot on his shoulder. Yeah. And like they were single file and a guy kept telling him to look at this thing and they turn around and like, apparently there was something to do with like they saw a triangle in something like from a building near where Oswald may have been. So they're like, oh, see, that's the Illuminati because, you know, they put pyramids wherever they kill people. And like, so that was, I guess, an activity.
Sorry, and I then, just fell asleep. What were you saying?
I know.
It's an activity to see where people died.
Hold on. Because if you don't
that's
like
actually,
that.
Actually, that's every historic tour I've ever been on. So I guess it is interesting.
I've actually done the Dealey Plaza tour. So
good.
The weirdo.
Was there a guy telling you about the Illuminati?
It's interesting because like there's the like JFK Jr. was or JFK was assassinated here museum, but then there's just like all these conspiracy, like there's literally like a shack down there where that has like all these conspiracy theory.
Oh, like the Bigfoot Museum in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, exactly.
it's like very a porta potty with some pictures. Like it's a museum, okay? Get in here. But the thing is, despite the sad shit going on with, you know, JFK fucking not showing up and zombie form to restore Trump to power, this guy Protzman, he's like, I've got some real news for you, man. The thing was, he kind of got cold feet because
he's dead.
Let me tell you why. Because we were at the Rolling Stones concert, and guess who was fucking at the Rolling Stones concert in fucking Dallas? I'm going to play a clip of these people talking. They got a fucking hotel, like, conference room at the hotel they're staying at just to kind of, like, talk, like, yell into a microphone and applaud each other about nonsense. Just listen to this because if... just listen to this.
Okay.
I'm a little worried that I'm going to listen to this and be totally converted to the Q thing because everything you've mentioned sounds very convincing and rigorous.
I mean...
I found out a new conspiracy theory I really like about how the sun's not real.
Really?
Oh. It's just a bunch of reflectors and LED lights.
Go on.
Like, you had me at the sun.
That's it. That's the sun. It's not real. It's in the middle of the night. They took the sun away and they replaced it.
Yeah, they did.
With LEDs.
So these are two clips. Unfortunately, you can't get the one continuous clip because he gets cut off mid-sentence, but we'll continue in the next clip because he's talking about, you know, the people who went to the Rolling Stones concert, they saw a few people who you thought were dead, and they were fucking there.
Smile and went like this.
This woman just said Prince was on drums.
So Michael Jackson was Mick Jagger.
Michael Jackson was Mick Jagger.
Keith Richards was John.
John
JFK
Kennedy?
JFK Jr. 114. Trump card 114. Elvis was playing.
Oh. Hold on. That's where I said it was getting good. I will continue.
This is Elvis. A boomer fantasy. I'm sorry.
I know.
Elvis was what?
Keyboard.
Elvis on keyboard.
Okay.
People going, yes.
Famous keyboard player. Elvis.
piano. Prince was playing drums.
Okay.
You already said that.
And Heels Up Harris, being played by Aaliyah, was the backup singer that walked right down the runway all the way to the front and was featured in the show, in the song. Evil, it's only a shot away. It's only a shot away because it's... ITS is 48.
Okay, so he starts doing his numerology to prove that these
it's
Rolling Stones...
is because of the use of it's, the very strange word. If you think about those lyrics, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would he use that very strange word, it's?
Same as whatever. Yeah. So Aaliyah was backup singing, Prince on fucking drums, Elvis on keys, was it JFK as Keith Richards and Michael Jackson as Mick Jagger?
Uh-huh.
I'm... I don't know.
It's too much.
Every aspect of this seems like, I don't know if I just have psychedelics on the brain because you're
near me.
Because I'm near you and I've been breathing your exhalations. No, because your description of like them pointing at evidence of the Illuminati, like really felt like people who are like tripping. And then this he seems like he's blacked out, like just out on his feet, like hammered.
There was a time where he like said, and the woman I'm sleeping with, he gestured to like someone he's sharing a hotel room with and like made this weird joke and everyone's like, but like people were like, the audience was very strange. And, you know, along with all this stuff, there was someone like on their, you know, Telegram channel asking a question like, are we putting too much faith into this guy? Like he just said JFK was going to show up, like all this wild shit that could never happen, didn't happen. And now more of you are going along to remain in Dallas because you think there's a chance that he could reappear. And this person was like chased out of the group and being called like a non-believer. So, you know, the cult aspect of this is pretty established. It's more like when you hear this stuff, I'm like, I just don't know what the end game is and where it goes. Because not to say that this is the most mainstream Q stuff, but it is definitely part of that ecosystem. Like, where are they headed? And is it just going to create a lot of people who are seeing all kinds of skewed meaning of, you know, what they're experiencing in their day to day and like beginning to like act out in real life? And that's where I get real uneasy of seeing like where this stuff goes.
I think so. I think it's a mix of like people being confused about what's going on, bored, and just like, have very little meaning. And that's, I mean, kind of what capitalism does, is it kind of, you know, gets rid of the meaning of your life when your life is just like work and money.
Right.
And then suddenly you're a super spy.
Right.
Like you're fucking James Bond over here.
Right.
They're all the guy, Bill Pullman's character, or Bill Paxton's character from True Lies. That's who they all are.
I got a little dick. It's pathetic.
It's pathetic.
But you're going to shoot me.
His delivery, like when he was saying like the Prince on keyboard, he was like staring into the camera because I think he knew that this was gonna like hit the media. But I don't know. It's very
haunting. How many
people
were at that concert? You could just be like, "No, that didn't happen." Like,
right?
Yeah, they're like, "I'm sorry. Just even show me how this person was Prince on." Just I'm curious to know.
Yeah.
How they sustain this sort of logic of
Where the fuck was Little Richard? Okay. Where was Little Richard?
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly.
All right. Let's check in with like the Trump, you know, lineup. Who is he endorsing these days? What are they all about? It seems like we're starting to see a trend here.
Yeah. I mean, his hold on the GOP is pretty clear. And he butts heads with Republicans that are like only like 93% racist. So there's definitely like a type that he prefers. And it seems like, especially for the people that he's endorsing, when you look at some of the people he's endorsed recently, they all have a very similar pattern of allegations of abuse. You know, like Herschel Walker, who's running for Senate in Georgia, has been accused by his ex-wife and a former girlfriend of like, you know, threatening their lives or like pulling a gun on them. Max Miller is a former Trump aide who was briefly dating Stephanie Grisham, who was the press secretary during their time at the White House. And she had accused him of, you know, physical abuse, and had also been arrested like for like fighting at hookah bars and all kinds of just like just general, you know, like he likes to punch people in public.
It's like brown shirt shit. Like,
yeah. Then there's this guy, Sean Parnell. This guy most recently, Sean Parnell, who's running in Pennsylvania, got Trump's blessing.
For Senate.
And many people. Yeah. And many people are like, what's going on here? Again, accusations of abuse from people in his past, physical, violent stuff. And then he made his worldview like really clear on a Fox. And like, so then after this stuff came out, people were like, I'm not sure if you saw him when he was on Fox and Friends and started going off about like tyrant women. And just to give you an idea, again, not to belabor the point, but this is a soundbite of him sort of, this is sort of his general vibe as a man and how he sees the world.
I feel like the whole happy wife, happy life nonsense has done nothing but raise one generation of woman tyrants after the next. Maybe it's just now there's an entire generation of men that don't want to put up with the BS of a high maintenance narcissistic woman. I also think that modern day feminism has driven a wedge between men and women. The idea that a woman doesn't need a man to be successful, the idea that a woman can live a happy and fulfilling life without a man, I think it's all nonsense. I've already have one failed marriage and, you know, I've been there, I've done that, but I look at women on Instagram when I stumble across their pages, and the number one thing that turns me off the most is all the duck-billed selfies.
Yeah.
The narcissistic duck-billed selfies. From an evolutionary standpoint, it used to be, you know, women were attracted to your strength because you could defend them from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I feel
That is,
there it is. Dinosaur dad.
He's running for Senate?
He's running for fucking Senate. But I when you look at sort of what the platform is with Trump at the helm, it really is like this pedal to the metal, like fuck progress shit. Like, we want a guy who's literally evoking prehistoric man, like as part of his pursuit of a better America. And I mean, this is the thing, like we've seen Trump, it's pretty similar. He surrounds his people of a similar disposition or shitty character. So now when you see that this almost seems like a litmus test to get an endorsement from him, you can only imagine where the rhetoric and the policies are headed when this is the stuff that he's like, we have to get behind this. We have to get behind the guy who says women who take selfies are like narcissistic monsters. And I've already had one failed marriage. You know?
Right. Just throw that in there as an aside. I mean, we do seem to see this a lot, that a comorbidity between like violent misogyny and a lot of problems in America, whether it be like mass shootings, just murder, or, you know, this fucking white supremacist, you know, movement. And it makes sense, because being afraid, feeling threatened as in your manhood, I feel like undergirds a lot of, you know, the character profiles of the people who are causing a lot of the problems in this country.
Right. Because conservatism now just means go backwards.
Right.
There's nothing, there's this point they've completely stopped contributing any kind of idea that someone would be like, yeah, did you hear that thing Mitt Romney said? If that were policy, that would make our lives easier. It's just been like, man, taxes are too much for us millionaires and regular people, huh, folks? And it's everything else is just about chipping away at fucking any semblance of progress, whether that's for like bodily autonomy or reproductive rights or LGBTQ civil rights, anything like that. It's like, no, we got to fucking take everything back. And I'm not sure how many people realize like that's truly what the deal is here. And I know many people feel like we got to get back to like simpler times when America was this or that, and we didn't have any idea of things like runaway misogyny or racism.
Right.
But this is sort of, you know, I think this man truly would be like, fuck, shit was easier when women picked you based on if a dinosaur was going to eat her.
Right.
Because we were walking the earth at the same time as dinosaurs, if you remember, because I'm a Christian.
Right. That's facts, man. This dude.
I mean, what do you think? He sounds like a guy who took one. He like heard about evolutionary biology from his freshman year college roommate and then decided to just shoot off at the mouth constantly about it. Like, I don't know if you know, like that's how like women pick men. Right. Caveman times.
So
what a fresh take on social media, taking down the old duck face selfie.
Right. And which is kind of odd when you see it, the like where you'll see Republicans get progressive, because it always strikes me when you see like how Republican members of Congress are now like, man, we got to figure out legal banking for legal cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what? Where'd you hear that? You're like, I got donors who are pretty in. So I got to like represent. It's like, wow. So you only pick that road when like there's money and someone's clearly being like, hey, man, we can make some fucking money. But like, you got to team up with Elizabeth Warren in this case to make this happen.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And all right, let's dive into the sitcom premise that is an actual news story. So somebody is listing a 3-bedroom home about an hour's drive from Toronto. I'm told is how you're supposed to pronounce it.
Toronto?
Yeah, for $350,000, which is a very good price. And tens of thousands of people are inquiring. And it is apparently in a nudist resort. And that's like in the description, but people are still inquiring, even though I'm pretty sure there aren't that many nudists, like just in existence, to like be inquiring that much. So the question becomes, would you greenlight this sitcom about a non-nudist couple living in a nudist resort for the good home price? Or a secondary question, would you do it?
I don't think so. I wouldn't. No, I don't want to see that shit against my will. Yeah. You know, I'll take a smaller house somewhere where people have their clothes on. Yeah, I don't want to see that, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I think if I was, it would depend on where I was at in my housing search. But I think if I was really striking out, if I was like being rejected for loans, if I couldn't find a place, and I would do it. If I could get to a certain point, I would do it. But only if I could live alone for some reason.
Right.
I have so many questions about nudist colonies. Like, I mean, what are the children wearing? Are they naked too? And then, you know, there's a lot of things I need to know.
I get the feeling no children allowed, I'm hoping. That seems...
You and me both,
but
pal.
Then can you ban children from... I guess you can ban children from a colony? I don't know how the rules of colonies work. So you can only be a childless, naked adult there?
Yeah.
I hope so. Here's the hoping, okay. Jamie.
Yeah, you can't have naked... I actually never thought about how kids... You can't send kids to, like, nudist school. Do you think they have night school for the adults and that's naked? How big does this go?
Yeah, I don't know. But
all the way to the top.
I have some concerns about the ecosystem there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're...
Jack, would you do it?
No. Okay. Actually, now that you mentioned that no kids allowed, you know, I could just...
Oh, you do notoriously hate your own children. So that is something to think about.
Also, what if you get cold and you want to put on a jacket? I'm cold all the time. Like, you know, I need to put on my cozy sweats.
Well, fortunately, it's in the tropical climes of Toronto.
Yeah, so, I was like, isn't that one of like the coldest places?
I think so. I think it's up there. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just wild. I think it's a testament to, you know, late stage capitalism and how things are bad, that 24,000 people have inquired for the property since it was listed on September 1st.
Leave it to me to ask the scientific questions.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's talk Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Because it is that time of the year where people start complaining about how early people are talking about Christmas. So vaccines for kids are starting to roll out. There was a big announcement last week that they were starting to do the planning and that kids could start signing up, which by the time you hear this, the internet will probably be flooded with like anti-vax propaganda. I know a lot of parents who are not generally anti-vax who are like, never my child who has already had to get vaccinated. So I don't know why I'm drawing the line here, but yeah, I don't know. It seems like this is going to be a real shit show, but Writer JM is predicting that Santa is going to be a big part of the story because that guy, you never know where he's going to fall.
There'll be Santas coming out on both sides.
Right.
Wow, this guy's a real groundhog coming out with this prediction early in November. I mean, what's he have, a crystal ball? This is incredible.
So Santa was the focus of one of the earliest vaccine-related controversies last year. But this, speaking of that Adam Sandler video that you want to make, Jamie, this was at a time when the right was rapidly pro-vaccine, but it was before anybody had invented one. So like they're for it. They're for vaccines as long as they're like unsafe and untested. Mm. But it was because the Trump administration was pushing to have a vaccine ready before the election. Science be damned. And his plan involved vaccinating mall Santas before everyone else and in turn having them promote the vaccine to kids that sit on their laps. So, you know.
But via whispering? Like,
yeah. What? Don't tell your mom, kid, but I could hook you up with a vax.
I got some needles. The Zooey Deschanel elf has a bunch of needles with her. Like,
yeah.
Flawed plan.
He's pointing out that like Fauci claimed in November that Santa was immune to COVID, but then also claimed that he personally traveled to the North Pole and vaccinated Santa. So I just feel like we need to give Fauci like a year off. Like he feels like someone who's been awake for 48 hours in a row and is just like punchy and is just, you know, throwing stuff out there.
That man has been through a lot.
Yeah.
I think of him as like always shaking a little bit.
Right. So Santa has been to hospitals to promote the vaccine in Finland along with Finnish heavy metal Eurovision champ Lordi, who I was not aware of before this story, but looks like Home Improvement's Richard Karn is like halfway turning into a zombie and also like mixed with Gene Simmons. But then there's also the issue of whether mall Santa Claus will be vaccinated or not this year, which the answer seems to be yes, of course, they fucking have to be vaccinated because most children are going to be unvaccinated. But there's already one Santa who in October was like, they fired me for not being vaccinated. His excuse, Santa Ron, which is what he goes by, told News 4 Jax. Yes, Jacksonville, Florida, against all odds, that he doesn't want the COVID vaccine because he has had bad reaction to shots in the past. Just shots across the board have like caused acute ouchies whenever applied to him. But yeah, I don't know. It feels like this is definitely going to happen. And
I mean, as a lover of Santa media, I do feel that there is a responsibility of Santa culture to kind of lead the conversation here. And
always,
you know, it's something I take very seriously. And I have to imagine the whole Santa community does. Unvaxxed Santas, that is like that. Of course, that shouldn't be allowed. And of course, it's like going to happen. It kind of reminds me of the mall Santa from Nathan For You, where he had like every mall Santa has a dark secret, you know, like sometimes it's going to be that they're unvaccinated. I personally, I don't know, Jack, do you bring your kids to see Santa at the mall? Or are you going to skip
every day?
Every day? Wow, that's awesome.
No, I think we'll skip it this year. We skipped it last year. We managed to skip it last year.
Santa's at the mall really have had a janking career, except in the red states.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does suck for the people who's like, that's their entire identity. I feel for y'all, but like,
it's a big problem.
You if you're not willing to get vaccinated in order to keep that identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk. Have you guys seen Eternals?
No. Have you?
No.
What's Eternals? Is that some nerd shit?
Yeah, it's nerd shit that's coming out. Came out last weekend.
I knew it.
Yeah, I fucking knew it, dog. Ugh, nerds. So this is the latest Marvel movie to, you know, be groundbreaking in that Brian Tyree Henry is playing the first openly gay superhero in a Marvel movie. Mm. And critics are hailing the inclusive storyline as the bare minimum. And yeah, I don't know. The last time Marvel like boasted about LGBTQ plus representation turned out to be a 10-second scene in Endgame in which one of the directors who isn't gay in real life mourns his dead partner in a support group because the filmmaker claimed that representation is really important, which became like a PR nightmare. So in addition to like just being a thing that they're trying to get credit for and like without really thinking about it or doing anything about it, early reviews are mentioning a scene in which Fastos, who is the superhero in question, stands, quote, solemnly in the wreckage of Hiroshima and screams, "What have I done?"
Because, wow. Pathos. So
they, yeah. Like, he's not literally responsible for the use of a nuclear weapon, but because Fastos is essentially the patron god of technology, he like feels responsible for doing it. But I don't know, it just feels like this is what happens when you're like trying to like tie in the fucking Holocaust or the use of like a nuclear weapon to kill hundreds of thousands of people in a like split second, like as a plot point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nothing against whatever. I always get like fillet of fished in comments when I'm like, I have no interest in Marvel trying to comment on the real world. I like to watch people fly around. I like to watch people kiss. I like when the school bus is pulled off of the edge of the bridge. I'm not looking for commentary. And when I hear that there's commentary in a Marvel movie, usually I don't go.
Right. I mean,
shout out to Chloe Zhao, though. Good for her for directing a huge ass movie. That's cool.
Yeah. Getting a huge payday.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I saw her at a restaurant recently. It was cool.
What? That is cool.
Spending that Eternals money?
Yes.
Yeah. Greta said hi to her after on our way out, like in a classy way. But I would have never.
Mm.
She goes, "I love you," as we were walking by.
I love you. Sign this knife for me.
Sign my knife.
It wasn't like, it was like a classy hello in that she didn't stop. It was moving. You know, when you're moving, it's okay because you're not expecting them to spend time with you.
Right.
Yeah.
That is the way to do it.
Yeah.
I think like it's okay to have like tie-ins to history, like in Hocus Pocus. Sure. I don't know if you guys are fans of that movie, but
it opens. It's my number one, Jack.
So it's you know good. That was a good movie because it opens with the Salem witch trials, in which the women being murdered are actual witches, and so like the Puritans were right, and every puritanical thing in American culture is
they
founded.
Weren't chill, but they were right.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Inserting magic and
maybe
technology
in that scenario wasn't about puritanical values. It was like literally because they were eating the children in the town. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a revisionist look at the Salem witch trials.
And that's why art is so important.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, like, but, you know, JM also points out, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark does this in a way that doesn't really fuck me up. Like, I think it's, like, cool when you're melting Nazis. Like, that's, maybe that should be just, like, the rule. If you're getting to melt Nazis, I'm good. But otherwise.
Historical commentary, I feel like, is more fun when it's not, like, especially, like, in this genre, in, like, action and superheroes and shit like that, when it's more cathartic versus punishing and reminding you about a large loss of life.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Melting the Nazis is great because it's just like it's scratching the itch of like, wouldn't it be so cool to melt a Nazi, to melt an evil person versus like so many innocent people died. Doesn't that make you want to keep watching this movie that I feel like just looking at the trailer, I'm like, this is 3 hours long. I'm not going. Movies are too long.
I agree. We as a society need to come together on that point. I can't do that. This, you know, what are we? Every movie's a fucking Irishman now. Jesus Christ. I can't do that. I barely have enough, you know, attention span to read two pages, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to see Titane again. That's how I'm going to see the Eternals, is just see Titane a second time.
What is Titane?
I don't know if I'm saying it right because it's a French word, but it's the movie where the lady has sex with a car and gets pregnant with a car and gives birth to a car.
What?
Oh, yeah. I have heard about that.
It is like, I mean, it's, I'm very inclined to like movies like that, but it's incredibly good. It's by this French
director. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah. Her name's Julia Ducournau. She made a really good movie about teen girl cannibalism a couple years ago too. Like she just does the wildest stuff and does it all the way. Yeah.
Cool.
She has sex with a car.
Wow. My dream.
I know. I was like, wow, I didn't even realize that's how you could have sex with it. I mean, the way she has sex with the car, I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting something very different.
Yeah. I don't even know how to picture it. Huh. I thought you were mispronouncing Titanic. I was like, is that like a classy way to pronounce
Titanic? Yeah, with your pinky up.
Yeah.
No, it's like tartine, except having sex with cars.
Yes.
Except having sex with a car and having a car baby.
Yeah.
That part seems less fun, but I am interested.
Yeah. I mean, people who like so the movie's based on, The Eternals is based on the classic comic series and all those tweets about jacked Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, that's the one he's in?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one.
Wow. This is clearly a topic for me and Blair. We know so much. And
I don't know shit about it either. I don't know the comics. I was really excited about the director. And then I saw the trailer and it's all like laser shit. And like, I've never been into people who shoot lasers out of their hands. I find it somewhat boring.
Yeah. Marvel was like, let's get this woman with so much taste and just so
laser that shit up.
And then just keep it straight Marvel.
Yeah,
that's what drives me like up a wall about it is like it would be really cool to give Chloe Zhao something like that budget to do whatever she wanted, or like the same for like Taika Waititi of like, here's $300 million, what will you do instead of like the same superhero movie that you feel like, I mean, and I haven't seen it, so maybe it is like very, very different and she has her own fingerprints like all over it, but it all kind of feels like this movie could be made by anybody. Why are you wasting this talented person's time?
But they don't want that. They don't want something like new. They want to keep Marvel happy the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
She does cast it with mostly people who live in vans in America. In the American,
that's
West.
The Chloe Zhao signature. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.